And we are recording with Mr. Rhys Tomlin, and you made the documentary An Infinite Dream about 9/11, and watch it. I'll put the link on here. It's on BitChute. It's fantastic. The music on point, on point. It has the same sort of anxiety inducing like vibrance of A Dark Night. A lot of the same, just kind of.
Oh, okay.
I was like, this is all right. I'm on board with this right from the get go. I was like, I'm on board with this.
Right on.
But hey, real quick, introduce yourself for everybody listening.
Yeah, Rhys Tomlin, like you said, I run a website now called dreameskimo.com. So it's for simplicity's sake. Never really was a big interest of mine, but I got tired of telling people here on BitChute, here on Odyssey. And then go into it and search. The more steps along the way, the less people
You'll
are going to
let he'll
do
lose
it.
them. Yeah, he'll lose them all.
So, that's I'm a podcaster. Well, I have been historically a filmmaker, an overt activist, public activism, and now I'm in my retirement stage as far as that goes, as far as activism goes, semi-retirement. But there are no rules in life. You just kind of make it up as you go along. So we'll see what happens. I have to say, get like a white pill, as they say, when I see guys like you. Nick messaged me, was like, I gave your stuff a shout out on Tommy Kerrigan's show. I'm not in the loop as much anymore. So I was like, hearing about guys like you giving people a voice or making your own statements known out there. That's optimistic. That's good to
Oh yeah.
see.
I was actually talking to a friend about this last night. It's not like a passive process to not be blackpilled. Like you have to work every day to be white-pilled. And that doesn't mean stick your head in the sand and believe the theater of everything and kind of go along with the horse shit. But what it does mean is try to make your it doesn't it, it's also not some idyllic change your frame of reference to see everything as a blessing and everything as a no. I mean, because that's also kind of shallow. I mean, like literally try to make your immediate universe better. And I'm blessed in that I've worked my ass off to make this job my immediate universe. And because I can talk to people online, my immediate universe is kind of expanded. But really, truly, I mean, this Mac is 18 inches from me, so very much so, I still feel like it's my immediate universe. You have to try to be white-pilled, and you have to listen to everyone, and you have to give a voice to everyone. And also, like, I don't know, I think there is something kind of, above all else, I think there's something kind of funny about staying optimistic. Not like, oh, you sweet summer child, but it's more so like there is something kind of funny about like we're heading best case scenario to the Great Reset, worst case scenario thermonuclear Armageddon. The wealthy are aggregating more money. Transhumanism is probably a decade away before they truly break away into a new civilization and a new species and either collapse the world in on itself or turn it into a dystopian hellscape. There's something kind
Right.
of funny about still like bringing like canned
Yeah.
goods to the homeless shelter. Like, to me, there's something funny about looking at all of it and going, yeah, it's pretty evil. Anyway, I'm going to try to make today good.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, that's one of the first things I said when I started to do like the Status of the Union podcast is like you have to have a sense of humor about things,
Yeah.
at least as a signifier to yourself that you're not, your judgment isn't clouded. Like if you look at 9/11, for example, the targets of that were the viewers. Actually, all terrorism, the targets are the people watching, not the victims themselves. And so that's why I think it doesn't matter if some of the real ones, excuse me, some of the new ones are actually real or fake. I'm referencing things like Sandy Hook, because the job gets done regardless.
Yeah.
Whether people die or not, it's incidental. The people that are watching are the targets because they want to move legislation and various policies forward. They need you to have a certain frame of mind about an issue. And it can be broad, it can be small, but if you're not able to joke about things, then you know your judgment is clouded. And so, you know, sometimes it may seem sick to the outsider. I remember I can never give him credit, but it was somebody who was doing a radio show host, and he was awake to the world at the time. Not Bill Cooper. He had a good one too, but somebody else and his co-hosts were joking about 9/11 as it was happening. And they stopped and they were like, well, we don't actually think this is funny, but what's ensuing, this is actually comical how ludicrous this all is. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I guess it's kind of not related to what you were saying, but I'm on the same boat as of today. Like, keep it. It is a bit delusional. And it's how I started out as like save the world type of concept. And it's like, first of all, and my morality,
fuck off.
Has
like, no,
changed.
You're not.
You know what I mean? It's yeah, it's completely naive. It's almost like a teenager willfully ignorant. And,
yeah.
Well, I would have to be willfully ignorant today to actually believe that. And, you know, even if people wake up to the issues or these public myths are debunked, or, you know, we kick all the Jews out of our country, whatever your trip may be, it's still the same fucking shit reality at the end of it. I mean, what are we going to exchange it for? Something amazing? I mean, I have ideas that I support, like the Venus Project, but
I remember that.
Trust
yeah.
me, bring it down, you know, bring it like out there. Sometimes bring it down.
Manage expectations. Take it down. Yeah, when you start working out and you're like, I'm gonna work out 8 hours a day, I'm gonna fucking mix crop, and it's like, hey, give me 7 straight days of hitting the gym, buddy, and then we'll think about buying whey protein. Going to the Olympics is a decade away, baby. I mean, I've seen it with this podcast. Like, this is episode 1015. Baby steps along the way, and it's when I hit new milestones, I'm like, you can buy the microphone now. You've shown that you're in. I have to be like my own parent. I'm like, you've shown that you're interested in it. You have earned yourself a new camera. Like, go for it. And, but there is, so there are sort of these like stages. First, it's the naivety. I'm going to change the fucking world, which can almost bleed into like messianic delusion. Like, I am going to save the, and then it becomes about the ego.
Yes.
And it's less about saving the world and more about, look at me.
Yes.
Then it's blackpilling, because you realize, not just in the sense that this is too much for me to do, you realize this is too much, period. And then, as Tim Dillon says, you know, when people say we got to take our country back, he goes, from who and to what? Back to what? And I love him, but you know, he is a fountain of blackpills, and I got to keep it at bay as humor. But then there's another level, though, where you go, I'm not fixing it all. I'm not setting up a cold fusion powered desalination plants, and you know, we're not going to rout out the occultist satanic pedophiles running the world. And you go, okay, that's a given. But then you go, if I do nothing, they've won. If I become so demoralized, because you eventually hit a point where you go, it's so fucked, all I can do is enjoy my own life. But if you can even surrender that and go, well, I can't even enjoy my life because it's all so fucked. And it's like, well, now you have ceded more territory than they are capable of taking. And that includes your own mind. And even if it's just something tiny, trying to just bring awareness to a problem, try to bring awareness to human trafficking, or try to bring awareness to both sides of an issue. Trying to show the humanity in someone that you may disagree with politically, there is good you can. You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger in a week, but you certainly can go do 5 push-ups. And if you say, I can't even do the 5 push-ups, well, now you're dead. You have ceded your life and your life force, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, and there's, like, back when I was first getting sort of woken up to these like major public myths, I always had doubt. I mean, on the black pill front, I guess I had an interesting benefit going in, because I never embraced and I actually actively rejected categorizations. But once I found out what nihilism was, I was like, oh God, that's me. And there's basically 4 tenets, as far as I remember. I never really tried to fill the box, but I was like, that's me since I've been an early teenager. And so learning these things, it wasn't a depressing thing as much as it was a frustration thing, because like 9/11, like so many other people, it was the portal to like understanding the esoteric world or the occult, intelligence agencies and what the government's really up to. And like my knee-jerk reaction was, I got to call the FBI. I mean, obviously, I wasn't actually a cognitive thought, but I was like, who do I tell? Because they're the ones that did it. The people I'm supposed to tell did it. And so after you get past the frustration and yelling at people around you, like, believe me, that may be like an ego thing, actually. I don't know.
I've seen the truth. Listen to me.
Right. And you realize at some point you come off as this annoying evangelist that's knocking on doors. I see a lot of kids that are like, what do I do? My parents won't believe me. Like over the years, that's been sort of the predominant frustration promulgated to me is like, my parents won't listen to me. I'm like, first of all, chill. Second, no parent I can imagine wants to be told how to view the world by their kids, number one. And we can like virtue signal stuff out here, but if they love you and shit, like just take that and just go apolitical with them. You don't need to convince everybody else. It's better to like have some type of peace going on or love at least. Don't annoy your parents, people. Yeah, once you get past all that, then you start taking things in strides. And there certainly have been moments where I've been putting stuff out. I'm like, why am I even doing this anymore?
Oh,
Definitely, you
sure.
start questioning.
Yeah.
What's the goal here?
What am I even, who am I? Who I was going to say on the note of trying to convince your parents, hey, that applies to every generation in the history of man. That applies to some angsty teenager in 8,000 BC going, listen, dad, there's a new thing called the wheel. And he's like, will you shut up? Like, it's just like, fuck off. It's never going to be anything. Just accept that. And you're right. Not everything needs to be convincing and winning. Be happy you have people that love you unconditionally. I think that, me and my siblings probably couldn't be more opposite politically. And you know what? They're my siblings. They're alive and I love them. Take it. Take the fucking goodie for what it. Don't question the hot shower. Just fucking enjoy the warm water. Like, take the little wins. But then you hit the moment of why am I even doing this? Who am I trying to convince? There's no point in evangelizing or proselytizing. The people that are awake and they don't need to be told. And the people that are asleep are either unable to hear what you're saying or unwilling. So what's the next step? What's the I'm just I'm because I feel like our paths are pretty parallel. So what was the next step for you?
Well, it depends on your ideology. I mean, I did watch the majority of your Stumphauser interview, but I'm not, familiar with your politics. Are you NS or
I don't even know what that is.
okay? So I'm assuming you're not National Socialist,
No,
because
I'm the only person I know who openly has who has voted for a different polit on the different aisle every 4 years because my mind has just changed every 4 years. I'm very plastic, I guess.
gotcha.
Now I'm really starting to. Embarrassingly, it took me 32 years, but I'm honestly starting to acknowledge, like, oh, it's all none of it's real. It's the Frank Zappa quote. It's
There you go.
the politics is the entertainment wing of the military industrial complex, which is run and powered by the intelligence agencies and the banking complex. And it's the taking control of resources over the world. And so I'm like, okay, noted. So now my politics have kind of shifted to, man, and it's cheesy and it's corny. I'm just trying to do like the best I can. And I really don't think voting people in is going to help. I don't think any grandiose, here's a 9-year plan on how we're going to. No. What can I do in my immediate world? I can give a voice to people that have been censored. That's kind of
Well, that's a hell of a lot
over.
better than LARPing. I know a lot of LARPers, so I know what. So I'm not National Socialist myself, but most of my activist buddies are. They identify as such. And the reason I don't mess with it is a multitude of reasons. But from what I can gather, so the majority of them are racialists, and they think, which I agree, a lot of this has to do with race. And that was actually like only something I started studying in 2019, 2020 through Philip Rushton.
Okay.
He was presenting evidence. It was sent to me by a fan and or an audience member. And I looked at it and I was like, I actually can't argue with a lot of this stuff. You know, that's not how I grew up. Everybody makes up the rainbow and we're all the same. But once you look into the anthropological evidence and the empirical evidence, okay, so, you know, it's not just war that they're engineering and it's not just draconian policies. There seems to be some type of racial aspect and domestic aspect to all of this as well. And I would just say that is, you know, de facto, whether it's a gender or not, white people are going extinct, and it's something that we should think about, because immigration does not flow outward from America or Europe into Mexico or Africa. It just goes in. And so when we run out of room, we will go, homogeneously speaking, extinct. And so for that reason, most of the people that are into that are national socialists, meaning that they strive for an ethno state, a white nation. And it's kind of based on the tenets of, you know, Hitlerian Germany. But for me, I mean, I mentioned the Venus Project before. I don't think National Socialism is a good end game. Like I said, that sounds like the same fucking reality, except you got white people running it rather than a multicultural system.
Under new man.
New management.
Same boss, new management.
New management, same. Ultimately, it would still arrive at a pyramid, and the analogous pyramid, right?
A coalescence of power and a top-down surveillance state backed by the military. It's the same thing.
Yeah. So that's, but like somebody like you that's, you know, says like, I just want to do the best I can. Well, people like to jump down people's throats about not having an end goal. Like if you trap an animal and then you go to the animal like, hey, why are you trying to escape? What are you going to do once you escape? Like, that's not, you know, you're just trying to get out of the bad situation.
Yeah. Fuck this cage. So, that's why I'm going to go piss on a tree. I'm an animal.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was just curious about that.
Well, I've also kind of found that end goals are kind of delusional in themselves. I mean, when I was I partied my ass off my freshman year of college, and then I was like, oh, I need to be a doctor. And so I studied nonstop for 3 years, stopped partying, got into medical school, and had an idea of what I wanted to be. I wanted to be Dr. Kerrigan. I wanted the hot wife. I wanted the house in the country club. And I had this like idea of what success was. And I checked all the boxes. Yeah, I checked all the boxes. I did all the stuff. I was in great shape, got into medical school, was going to go be a doctor, had the girlfriend, and was like, I did it. I did the thing. And the day after I graduated, I for the first time, I took some psychedelic mushrooms and meditated in the woods and was like, I'm miserable. And that was by chance that happened. But had that not happened, I guess life had a backup plan. A couple of months after I graduated, my older brother committed suicide, and that threw me completely off the rails. So to me, that's kind of like the Joker in the Dark Knight, which I know is like the most incel thing ever to, like, you know, quote. But like when he was, you know, he's like, I'm a dog chasing cars. Like, I wouldn't know what to do if I finally caught it. Or it was the other one. He's like, schemers have plans, but they're playing. And like, so I had this like plan that through like against all odds, it was like a dumb meathead frat boy. I managed to get into medical school and like did it all. And like built the very fragile structure that the card castle, and then it just exploded. And so now, and then the next several years after that was just an unimaginable horror. And now even building the podcast, like very quickly I learned like there is no any long-term plan. Like the universe is just laughed at. But so what I found is like, I never book a guest more than like 7 days out, with some exceptions. And every day I just kind of have a routine, and it's wake up, go to the gym, take a shower, meditate, do the podcast. While I'm at the gym, I listen to an audiobook, normally do like 2 podcasts, call my mom, and play video games with friends at night. And that like little tiny production unit of just show up to every podcast well rested, exercised, with a clear mind. And if there's a book, or like in this case, a documentary, do your research, listen to the thing, read the thing, whatever. and just show up with your best attitude, with your most tolerant, open mind. And that's it. And that sort of like 24-hour module, if you will, I found is about the extent at which I can control my world. And if you just do that, it organically builds into, you know, again, no two cells got together and were like, yo, do you want to meet 70 trillion other cells and create humanity? No, it's just like two cells got together and were like, hey, we can exchange resources. 70 trillion cells later, there's me, there's Reese. That's
right.
Kind of what I've learned in my 3 decades on this earth is like, have your routine, show up with your A game, be honest, and whatever larger structure coalesces will coalesce.
Yeah, right on. What are you doing on Rumble, right?
Well, yeah, I was permanently banned from YouTube, so that's
yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed on iTunes, and I'm permanently banned from Twitter.
What was the last straw for the YouTube thing? What was your last strike?
Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough. I was having them on, and they were like, hey, you can go get vitamin D from Walmart for like $7, and it will probably keep you out of the hospital. And YouTube was like, that's medical misinformation. And I was like,
oh, it was COVID related.
Yeah, it was all COVID related. And I'm like, well, this guy, he invented the thing. And they're like, you know, this is hate speech. And I was like, all right, well, peace. So not allowed on iTunes. Banned from Reddit, banned from Twitter. Yeah, but I think that's like the most real thing I can do. I think anything looking beyond that, I don't think it's being nihilist, and I don't think it's being defeatist. I think it's LARPing to have, say, this is what's going to happen in 20 years. I don't know what's going to happen. And I know what I can do in my immediate world. And I know it's kind of new agey, but I think whatever it is that emerges, whatever phenomena manifests, in this case, it's a podcast with physical equipment. You can either push it forward with love and honesty or not. And whatever follows, I think, will probably reflect those energies. And I know that's very new agey, but
yeah. I'd be totally on board, like almost identical, except for we're like the 21st century. If we were talking 500 years ago, then it would be, you know, not considered altruism. When I talk about the Venus Project and stuff, it's like, you know, there's a couple reasons why I do think about the grander ideologies of things. If I start creating more material, I'll probably just go into that more than anything else that I've done previously. I get bored of doing the false flag stuff. It's the same every time.
You gotta keep moving. Gotta keep it fresh.
You know? And so I do this until the wheels fall off, and you know, the wheels, it's just boring. Like, what can I say? I mean, I lost a lot of respect for people after COVID, you know, like before. I think, so I had a second film called Flu Deluxe, and then I released a third film, which Nick is in, and he helped me with the shooting. He didn't mention it to you, I think, because he also, before I forget, loved his last piece, loved his last work, died suddenly.
That's fantastic.
He's a hell of a filmmaker. But he, you know, no questions asked, he didn't even charge me. We shot some scenes for Lockfire, and he's in it, but he is wearing a like masquerade ball type of mask in it. And I think he told me at some point in time, if my mom saw me this, she'd kill me. So he doesn't really mention it, but it's a far. It's
well, hey,
a far
sorry, Nick, it was just mentioned.
Right. Like he doesn't, but I mean, it's out there, you know, he doesn't talk about it himself. I think, I mean, he may have like an emotional bonding, like I have to Zeitgeist, because Zeitgeist was one of the films that woke me up.
Yeah.
And so like for him with 9/11, it was an infinite dream. He was definitely doubtful before it. Yeah, like Lockfire is a much better film. It was released a few months ago. If people want to see it, it's on dreameskimo.com. But he's in it, and there's like a fictional narrative going on. It's about 2020, but it's about a kid or a guy. Kind of, I wrote it as a kid, but then I was like, I'll just do it myself. And then Nick, my buddy, cajoles me into getting vaccinated, and I basically go on a trip through hell. So it's metaphorical, but it's not science fiction, unfortunately. I don't think. I think it's reality is weird enough to maybe equate it to that, but I just wanted to make sure that the people knew that, and that those type of guys. I think a lot of filmmakers focus too much on the masses still, and you can see that in An Infinite Dream, definitely. At this point in time, dialing it back. Right. So this tangent started with why do I focus on like broader ideologies? Because it's not like in the old age where me and you and whoever could get together and be like, we're going to go run our community unobstructed.
Oh,
And
you
this was
actually could.
great.
You actually could.
Nowadays, very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Nay, impossible, maybe, depending on how off the grid you're willing to go. I know that like the Cheneys and the Bush families are like totally on natural energy and stuff, and so they do pretty well, but they still have to pay taxes. And if the big bad government decides that you're a threat or whatever to the system, they'll intervene and do something about you. And so for that reason, I do think there has to be sort of a broader transformation. And that's the reason why I at least have an idea. And also, when I judge something, I do want to offer an alternative. It's like, that is shit. Well, what's your idea? You got anything better? Well, I mean, I think I do,
Yeah.
but.
No, I think that that's hitting the nail on the head, as I always hate when people think that, 'cause I used to be this person. When you're an angsty teenager, early 20s, and you think that you are some fucking noble wise man for pointing out the evils in the world. You're like, we're polluting the oceans, we're bombing Yemen,
Right,
and people don't,
right,
and it's like, oh wow, hey guys, everybody shut up. This guy is fucking seeing some shit that nobody else is seeing. Food's more expensive. We're going to war. Go on, go
right.
on. You're almost there. You're about to nut. Tell us about the big secret. What are we gonna do about it? We're gonna take down the power source. Shut up. No, you're not. And it's like, and it's, which will then lead to the black pilling, but you eventually you come back to it and you go, well, what can be done? And I do see what you're saying is because it's not 1610 and we can't be like, yo, we're all going to go build our own thing in the woods. Fuck off, you
See
know?
ya.
Good luck
Yeah,
finding
exactly.
us. There's Indians and bears. Like, it's, you do have to an extent, play the game. You do have to speak the language. We do have
Yeah,
two parties in this country.
when you live in the Bastards Casino, unfortunately, you have to adhere to their parameters. And
Absolutely.
so I do like one thing I missed out on because I took one of my stupid principal stands. Is when COVID was rolling around, I'm like, I think Pfizer and Moderna would be great stocks to buy. But then I had a brief inner dialogue where I'm like, what are you, a piece of shit? What are you, like the rest of everybody else? I would have doubled my investment if I had done it.
I think you should
I
have.
decided not to, right?
I think you should have used that,
If
and
I
then you
go
can fund
back,
your
I'd
next
do it.
documentary. Hey, play the game.
Exactly.
Play the game,
Right.
man. You know, you gotta, hey man, the most lethal weapons of World War II were probably OSS spies who were dressing like Nazis. They weren't steadfast, like, kill them all. No, go play the game, figure out what they're doing. Whatever you want, play the game. It's, you know. But actually, I'm kind of just as bad as that, because people are like, you need to have more attention-grabbing titles and you need to have clickbait thumbnails. And I'm always like, I will cut my throat ear to ear before I ever do a thumbnail with my mouth open with a white outline around me. And the title says, Rhys Tompkins was 9/11 a all caps inside job. I'll blow my fucking head off on camera. And maybe that's my own ego. I can't do it. There
It's
isn't.
creative integrity is what it is. It's creative
It's.
integrity.
And what
Also, people like you, what would you think if you saw my thumbnails like that? You'd think less. So I think there
I'd
is
think less
actually.
of you, and I'd think less of Nick. I'd be like, hey, why'd you put me onto this?
So it's a logical determination to think that other people would view you the same way. So
Like,
you're being too hard on yourself for that
I,
one.
yeah, I know, but there is something kind of visceral about when you just see like Mr. Beast on YouTube with his mouth open and it's like, I ate pizza made of gold, and there's 150 million views. And I'm like, here I am, and I'm like watching An Infinite Dream. I'm like, writing down questions about the Mossad and like thermite. And I'm like, what am I? How come I'm not doing TikToks of the new iPhone? Yeah, I can't.
Right.
Can I complain about not making enough money and like also have integrity? Like, I don't know if they go hand in hand, but.
Well, and you're right not to even pursue it that way. I mean, you can always improve, but I have tried to sell out before and I
Oh,
could
yeah.
never maintain. One of, well, I never, so after I gave like an Andrew Hales interview, he interviewed me about the film. I started a Twitch channel and I was like, I'm going to use this as a lightning rod for more serious stuff. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And I trust me, I studied it and all the stuff that you're talking about, the be sure that like if you do Streamer 101, they give you all of these lowbrow, more or less obvious tips. It's like titles are important, thumbnails are important. I quit within weeks. And then there have been other circumstances. I mean, lowbrow humor or extremely profane language. It's all come and gone without much to show for it, which is why I think that a lot of people are just shills because I've put out better content than Catboy Cammy and Gypsy Crusader, relating to the same topic, more entertaining and more funny. And that's not me, that's just the fact. And for some reason, they were able to explode, and my shit was like, eh, a couple thousand. There you go, sucker. I know.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I had on Dr. Ken Allebeck, who is the former head of the Soviet Union bioweapon program. He defected the
Oh.
United States with the CIA in 1992. That's still classified how he did it. And I had him on with Dr. McCullough, right? And I had them both talk about the origins of the Wuhan virus, and the conclusion was that this is indeed a bioweapon. I think that video is yet to break 100 views. And I'm like, this is the premiere. And if that wasn't enough, I got on Dr. Stephen Hatfill and Dr. Merrill Nass, who were both like employed by the government to hunt down who created anthrax. Spoiler alert, it was the CIA. But like, I've had on everyone, and they're like, no, this is undoubtedly a bioweapon. And people are like, yeah, but you told me you need to have better merch. And I'm like, do you?
Oh, exactly.
It's hard not to subscribe to the Tim Dillon mindset where he's like, we deserve to be bulldozed. We deserve to be steamed, which is funny. But then, like, I also, in a weird way, it's kind of selling out to just go full black. Well, then you have to even wonder, like, do I even deep down want to be white pilled, or am I doing it because that is like the only way to be like punk rock, fuck off now. It used to be, fuck you, don't do what you tell me, and then Rage Against the Machine requires vaccine passports. And it's like, well,
Oh, that's bad.
to have neon blue hair and a tattoo on your face is mainstream. That doesn't mean anything. And so then I have to question myself, am I actually even trying to be white pilled, or again, is that my own ego just being like, no one else is doing this? Am I actually fighting for censor, fighting against censorship, or am I only doing it because it's the only way to be like authentic?
Well, if I knew you were like this, I wouldn't have used that terminology in the beginning. I said white pill. I
No,
remember
no, no,
using
no,
that
no.
term.
I'm just having those thoughts now. I've never
I
even tried.
know. I know, but like I may have mischaracterized myself too. I
No,
mean,
no, no. It
I would say that w what is worse? I would challenge people out there. Is it worse to be a pessimist or is it worse to be a realist in this day and age? An ignorant pessimist or an aware realist? Oh, I think being the realist is far, far worse. I mean, I don't even think COVID's real. I think the stuff about Wuhan, it's breadcrumbs. I think that it was inaccurate testing. I explored it in Lockfire. Inaccurate testing, false positives, and a delivery system using that PCR test. I think they've been examined enough times for me to believe, and I've heard enough stories. They're like, I wasn't coughing until after I got tested, but they don't think about it. I'm like, they gave you some shit. Those little glass shards that you can see. Also, Nick's film. He did another one. He edited an interview with Stu Peters talking to the guys about remdesivir, which was a treatment, which, it's like AIDS all over again. It just causes the symptoms. What you're treating it with causes the symptoms. AZT causes AIDS, remdesivir causes your lungs to spasm and you need a ventilator, which is 90% of the time a death sentence. So, yeah, I mean, looking at all of that and the scope of control that's required to pull that off, there's not really much to be white pilled about other than rooting on the small victories. It's like, that guy, you did a good job there. Or like seeing a bunch of people that are similar to you, at least you can have a fucking conversation with somebody like yourself or just random people around the, like, I've met a bunch of Nick's friends when I went down to AFPAC. I'm not a Fuentes fan. I think he's CIA, to be honest. Should That's my opinion. No, yeah.
I get the hair stand up when I see him. I'm like, something's not, it's not all good in the neighborhood.
Is a weird,
he's glowing
closet homosexual glow.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, but the guys that follow him and stuff, I'm like, we're having a dinner or something like that. I'm like, this is a lot of random people I've never met that are in complete agreement about the fundamentally important things with our society. I didn't think that this would happen. That's a little white pill. Do I think that we're winning? No. I think the Great Reset is moving forward nice and unencumbered.
Well oiled. It's soaking in WD-40. It is just.
Oh, it's all systems go. And it there's is no stopping.
Green
it.
Lights across the board. Mission control is like, we are moving on to orbit. Like,
but, right.
But to me, like, I don't know. I guess it all does kind of come back. And I almost hate using this because it's like it's almost like the race card. And it's like, oh, you can't criticize someone. But like, but I always do pull things back to losing a sibling to suicide. Nothing has affected me more in my life than that. No illness, no presidential election, no terrorist attack, no COVID. Hell yeah. No 9/11, no nothing has affected me more than that. And I've had friends who, because that happened to me, I've noticed things in them. I'm like, I'm kind of worried. I almost committed suicide a couple years after that. That's when I moved home. But I've had friends who I'm like, hey, I noticed these things in you, and I know you're not going to talk about them, but I stopped giving a fuck after I lost a brother. I stopped giving about all formalities. So like, you and I are going to talk about this, and I know you don't want to. I've got friends to go start doing therapy. I've got friends to, you know, get sober, get off. I was addicted to clonazepam after my brother died. So my point is like, these smallest battles that no one will ever know about just because privacy, I'm not going to, you know, disclose who my right. friends are. Those are more impactful because their families, and they might never know, have sidestepped losing a son or a brother to suicide. And when I look at losing my own brother, John, and that is more impactful than 9/11, than the war in Iraq, than the fucking invasion of Ukraine, than the election of Donald Trump or Joe Biden, or whatever, that losing a sibling has had more of a ripple effect in my life than every other geopolitical thing I have ever seen in my life combined times 100. Still doesn't touch it. It's been right. 8.5 years. It still touches my everyday life. It still touches the holidays. It still, you know, affects my parents. So to me, I'm like, if that's so powerful, well, then you have to imply that being able to prevent that in someone else, a friend or a fan of the show, and they're like, hey, dude, you talking about that gave me the balls to go to therapy or gave me the balls to talk to my brother. And I know that somewhere there's a family that I'll never meet that doesn't have to experience that. Yeah. That has had more effect than the Venus Project or an investigation into fucking the 2017 Las Vegas shooting or releasing Hunter Biden's laptop will ever have in my immediate universe. So that's like my white. And then there are tinier white pills when you meet people. Like, my most viewed episodes are like doctors talking about the suppression of COVID. And I'm like, okay, it's not all fucked. People are interested. But like, my evidence and reasoning for like white pilling is like, they're the tiniest battles in my own immediate universe. You know, people donating to the Patreon, I'll take that and go bring fucking food to the homeless shelter. And you see someone like, dude, thank you so much. And you're just like, this is bigger than anything else I can do in my life.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, improving your immediate vicinity is absolutely important and keeps you in balance. Otherwise, you get into an echo chamber of your buddies and then people start eating each other and it becomes weird too.
Yeah.
That was one of the things sort of. Yeah. I mean, I've gone through hardships as well. That's a shitty fucking story, by the way. But like those pains that we've felt back then, that was my approach to an infinite dream was, well, that's 3,000 people roundabout
yeah, sure.
that had a they lost somebody really close, sure. Or no, multiply that. It's like how many people were around them, how big was their immediate family, or even extend it to the cousins.
Sure.
It's like that's tens of thousands of people easily where they suffered a serious
trauma.
Same trauma, and, you know,
yeah.
wanted to do something about it, at least wanted to honor them or, you know, prevent it from happening again by exposing this sort of big fat lie that they continued to build the house on. That's always an analogy I've used, is they use these public myths as you know, the concrete slab or the foundation or core columns for the building that they're building for us to, now we're on great reset stage.
Yeah.
So it's the house that these bastards built. And if you can debunk something that's like, you know, would really compromise the structural integrity of the whole home, which 9/11 would do, then you can bring it down. And, you know, I've always thought that would be an admirable ambition. And that's what I started. But I have to say, going through 2020, my moral compass in life and all things did distort. And that's not me being blackpilled. That's just me, you know, fuck this. I don't want to save these people. I mean, you know, I do, and I say I don't, I kind of do. But at the same time, I don't know how you were with masks, but I only wore a couple times when I had like a doctor's appointment. I didn't want to piss off my doctor before they, or no, a dentist before she's like fucking with my teeth,
yeah.
You know, just common sense stuff. I wouldn't wear it to the stores. I wouldn't do that. I'd
no,
go,
I didn't.
Triumphantly defiant. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the dirty looks were one thing, but then the videos that were coming out or my friend shared experiences, somebody got into a physical fight with somebody. I won't talk about that, but yeah, that's like, Why do I have to fucking tolerate you people for basically just barrage out of pure ignorance? And then what's worse is some people understand there's some shadiness, but they're conforming. They want you to conform as well. That changed my perspective on human worth. That's horrible to say, but really,
no,
it lessened my opinion.
It's, I don't think it's horrible to say. I think it's a pragmatic observation. When you go, why?
Oh, it
am
gets
I...
way worse with the vaccines too.
Oh yeah,
like, that's something else entirely.
Oh, dude, you know? the amount of friends I completely lost just by having this podcast, and then you're like, what am I? I'm kicked off YouTube. That has raped any ability of this thing to make money because I'm interviewing doctors who say that there's causing heart damage to a generation, and the people I'm trying to inform are telling me to stop being a Nazi. You're like, what am I? What am I doing? You know, but then I think you said it perfectly, though. You're like, I don't even want to save these people, but that's a lie. Like, no, I still do. And it's because deep down you're a good person, not sucking your dick and not saying I'm a great person, but in the sense of like, you're not a psychopathic demon. Deep down, you're like, I think these people have been lied to. I think these people, when I was 11 years old and 9/11 happened, you know, little bull cut me was like, well, we got to go get the terrorists. Like, that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It meant I had the wool pulled over my eyes. Now, people that have seen it and choose not to, that's kind of different. That's, you know, hey, bud, that's, you're going to have your own karma from that. But people that haven't,
they just don't know,
yet,
you think they could be saved?
They do deserve your efforts, because I sure would hope that if I was raised in a family that was just blue-pilled and never once questioned anything, and there was someone that did see what was going on and tried to awaken me, and I told them to fuck off, I would sure hope that they found it in their heart to keep pushing forward. And look at your own parents. You know, what's that quote? By the time you realized your dad was right, you have a son old enough who thinks you're wrong. The dad never says fuck off. It's just by the time you're old enough, God willing, your dad's still alive and you can go, hey, old man, you were right. And I am lucky enough to be able to tell that to my dad, and he gets to see that. There are probably a lot of dads that their children didn't realize they were right until long after they're gone, but you weren't doing it to be right. You were doing it because you loved your children. And in a total homo way, I do love people. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe their brain's been rotted with Uber Eats, and nothing against Uber Eats, but like, their brain's just been rotted with fucking, you know, The Night Show and Reddit and Orange Man Bad and Yes Queen Maybe all they need is maybe they watch a documentary and it takes them a little bit and it takes them another year. And 5 years from now, they're going, you know, what was Operation Northwoods? And you know what?
Right.
To me, that is a worthwhile fight. Because otherwise, there's also a part of me that's like, I just can't surrender to fucking these demons. Part of me is like, fuck you. I don't care that everyone I'm trying to help hates me. I'm going to try to do the right thing just because fuck you. That's why. It's just fuck off. I'm going to keep trying to do the right thing. There's a funniness in that to me, that despite all evidence to the contrary, that there is no hope in fighting, you still go, yeah, it's all over. Great Reset's coming in hot. Anyway, let's go try to help this person. To me, there is something deeply beautiful in that, that you just, you're staring death in the face. The tidal wave is coming and you're going, yeah, I'm still going to fucking build this sandcastle because it is kind of cool. Maybe that's my own delusion. I don't know.
We all got our kicks. I mean,
sorry,
I tell
sorry
you,
for that rant.
No, that's fine. I mean, yeah, it's just that's what has come out of it for sure is meeting people that have a similar viewpoint on the public. I mean, at some point in time, like when did I start? December of 2015 is when I really started to look at these things and I was like, ooh, forever alone, this is. And it's, you know, whatever. I mean, I can fake it. You know, I have a big boy job and I go around it, but there's only so much that I can tolerate. You know, somebody's talking about their favorite quarterback's weekly stats. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
get
like,
me out of this conversation quick.
You're like Jesus Christ in heaven.
Please help. So, no, I mean, that's what's come out of it is I put up a flag. It's like, here's my position and allow the artists to congregate.
What is kind of funny is you almost have to wonder, like, I love Tim Dillon, and he talks about, he was like, you got to wonder if in like 10 years, like red rooms, those like, you know, those like almost urban legend, like rooms on the dark web where you can pay crypto to watch someone tortured to death. So he almost got to wonder if in like 20 years, the people in the original red rooms were going to be like, dude, everything's so corporate now. Remember when it was just us? You almost have to wonder if like somehow humanity pulls it off. And they like get rid of the demons and set up.
It's on that trajectory. It really is.
What if they pull it all off though? What if we create a beautiful utopia and truth comes out and it's just love? Are we going to be there in 30 years and be like, dude, it was so much cooler when it was just a couple of us were white-pilled and we're trying to do
it? Gotcha.
Are we just going to be those guys? Are we just going to be mad that our band went mainstream? Like,
right.
I don't know.
If we're victorious in whatever way, however you want to,
we're
going to
be
that,
so angry.
We're going to be sitting on the fucking rocking chairs in Buenos Aires, like it ruined the goddamn moment.
Hey, you know, you used to only be able to watch an Infinite Dream on BitChute, and it's like now it's in every fucking home. I saw a kid yesterday; he had a poster on his door of Rhys Tomlin. It was so hardcore. You used to be worried about getting no knock. Now these kids don't understand it. Yeah, it's.
Right.
We'll just be those cucks. I don't know. But hey, dude, I got another guest right now, so we got to wrap this one up. And I know this was a very short podcast. I am going to text you though, and I am going to set aside, hopefully sooner than later. I would love to put aside like 2 hours and just jump down the rabbit hole with you. Cause this always happens whenever I'm a complete douche and show up late, I end up having a great podcast and I'm like, God damn it.
And that's how it goes. It worked out in my benefit too.
Oh, okay.
So thank you.
All right. Yeah. Perfect. Well, I have another guest right now, but when that one's over, I'm going to text you. Let's please schedule another one, and I won't schedule anyone else that day, and we'll just jump down the rabbit hole because I definitely enjoy this. This is good vibes. I like this. So, yeah, man, thanks for coming on here. Your audio just cut out. I don't know if you muted yourself. Beck? No, you're unmuted. Muted. Oh, yeah, you're good. All right, whatever. Audio's fucked. Well, Rhys Tomlin, everybody, I will put your website. Text me your website, and you just cut out, and... Well, I think he's got to run. So this podcast is over. I'll put the link.